you guys hear me? Okay. Can I indulge us to just move forward a bit? It feels like you guys are far from me. So if we come together so we can... It's a bit cold as well, so the more we are together, it gets a bit warm. Amen. I'm waiting for us. Normally the excuse to bring people to the front is we're recording, so it needs to look good for camera. So can we just assume that there's a camera here recording, and so we need to look good for the camera? So if we come to the front, it makes the invisible camera look better. Oh yeah, there. Yeah, let me be, please. All right, you know, while I was sitting down there, I really felt like God wanted to just love on us and just remind us that He really loves us. Or maybe it's just for one person. God loves you. You know, I think it was, I don't know if it was this week that I was talking to my wife about just... remembering that our sense of identity comes from God's love. Sorry, nothing else really matters. Nothing else that we use to define identity is as powerful as knowing the fact that you're loved by God. Does that make sense? Most of the time we define ourselves by the things around us, by experiences, by what people tell us. But the only thing that should be that first foundational identity is the fact that you are loved by God. Does that make sense? And everything else is an overflow of that. Our Christianity comes from the fact that God loved us first. So us loving Him is a response to His love. Does that make sense? And so if He didn't love us, we wouldn't be able to love Him back. In fact, Him loving us is what gives us the capacity to love Him and love people. So your love for people should be an overflow of the love you have received. How many of us have heard the phrase, you can't give what you don't have? You can't really give love to people if you haven't received God's love. And so the very thing that defines us as human beings is the fact that He loved us. And so it doesn't matter if you've messed up. You know, the Bible says, what can separate us from God's love? Nothing. Not even your mess up will separate you from God's love. Not even sin. Nothing. And that's the reason why our identity is hid in that fact. Because if our identity is hid in things that can separate us from God's love, then that means that something can snatch you from God's hand anytime. But if your identity is hid in His love for you, then it doesn't matter what you do or don't do, He still loves you. If you remember the story of the garden, even when Adam sinned, the Bible says God came to the garden and He was still looking for him. How many of us know God knows everything? So God knew he sinned, but He still went to the garden looking for him. That's how much God loves us. And so you need to receive a revelation of that. And it's that revelation that enables you to really love people. So if you're struggling with loving people, it's the fact that you really haven't received God's love. And sometimes it's about just receiving it. Like you didn't do anything for it. Just take it in. Tell your neighbor, take it in. Take it in. Receive God's love. Amen. All right, that's not my message today. That's for one person. This afternoon, I just want to, again, teach something very, hopefully it will be brief. I always say it will be brief. My wife is like, your messages are never brief. You should stop saying that. But trust me, this one will somewhat be brief, somewhat. I want to talk to us about a phrase that comes up in scripture. SJ is feeling the message already. And what I want to talk to us about is kind of, I'll call it a prequel to some of the things that I already shared with us before. So I think some weeks ago we talked about maturity in Christ. How many of us remember when we talked about growing up? Yeah, and then we talked about spiritual warfare. What I want to share today is kind of a foundation to some of those things. And I think I've shared it before, but I don't know if it was 2 years ago or last year, but I felt the Holy Spirit wanting us to go over this again. And it's a phrase that comes up regularly in Scripture. You see the phrase regularly in Scripture. It says, take heed to yourself. Take heed to your spirit. All right, let's open to Malachi chapter 3. Thank you, Brother Kenton. Malachi 3. Father, I just pray that as we share your word today, as we go over what you've laid in my heart to share, that your spirit will fill me afresh in the name of Jesus, that you will let your word speak to the hearts of people, and that the entrance of your word will produce light and bear fruit in the hearts and in the lives of people in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. All right. What I'm about to share is foundational to our Christian faith, and just wanted to lay that foundation. Amen. All right, start from. Do I have the wrong? Just bear with me. Sorry, Malachi 2, not 3, 2:15. Can we put that on the screen if we can? All right. 2:15. Can we have New King James, please? Thank you. Actually, let's start from 14. So it says, yet you say, for what reason? Because the Lord has been witness between you and the wife of your youth, whom you have dealt treacherously. Yet she is your wife, yet she is your companion and your wife by covenant. Verse 15. But did he not make them one, having a remnant of the spirit? He seeks godly offspring. Therefore, take heed to your spirit. Say, take heed to your spirit. And let none deal treacherously with the wife of your youth. Now, I just want to pick the phrase, take heed to your spirit. If you study the scriptures, you find out that that phrase is both in the New Testament and in the Old Testament. And it's about, you find about 20, 21 times in the Bible where the Bible says, take heed to yourself. Take heed to your spirit. Very, very important. Now, when you see a phrase in scripture that appears, you know, just more than one or two times, then God is trying to send a message. Now, if it appears 20 times or more, then that's something that you really need to pay attention to. How many of us agree? Yeah, if God says something, he's keep saying it, then it's something that you need to pay attention to. It's like when the scripture says the just shall live by faith. It's both in the Old Testament and in the New Testament. And it at least it's three times in scripture where the Bible says the just shall live by faith. So in other words, God is trying to say to you that the faith walk or our walk in life is supposed to be by faith. Everything we do is supposed to be by faith. Now, the Bible says take heed to yourself 20 times. Then you need to pay attention to something. Say, take heed to your spirit. Take heed to your spirit. Now, there's a popular phrase we know that people use in Christendom where We talk about the human, the person, the human experience. We say that you are first a spirit. You have a body. Sorry, you have a soul and you live in a body. How many of you have heard that before? Yeah? Very true words. In other words, you are a spirit. You are not your body. Does that make sense? So, I am a spirit. I have a soul. And I live in a body. So, what we see is just a container. But that's not you. So, when the Bible says, take heed to your spirit, it's saying, pay attention to who you really are. Does that make sense? In other words, don't focus on the externals. Now, let's talk about these three aspects of the human. We all know what the body is, right? We know what our bodies are. Most of us are very in touch with our bodies, I would hope anyway. We have a very good knowledge of who we are in terms of the physical experience. You know what you like. You know what kind of, for the women in the house, you know what makeup suits you. You know what you need to do to make yourself attractive, right? That's your body. But that's not who you are. But we live in a world today where most of us, if we're being honest with ourselves, we have defined ourselves by how we look. Does that make sense? In other words, for a lot of us, if someone attacks your looks, it's almost like they attack a very core part of you. And it really damages you. It's like you can't go out for weeks because someone said something about how you look. That's the world we live in today. That's what most people do. But the Bible says what? Take heed to your spirit. Pay attention to who you really are. You are not your body. So understand what your body is. Your body is simply a container that allows you to do business here on earth. In other words, if you don't have a body, you have no license to be on earth. And that's why the demons and devils are always looking for bodies to possess. Because without a body, there is no license for any spirit on earth. Even Jesus, when he had to die, the Bible says a body was prepared for him. So a body is what gives you license to operate on earth. But that's not who you are. It's simply a container. Now, it's a very important part of you because you need to look after your body. Because if you don't look after your body, then that body will die. And then you lose the license to do business on earth. Does that make sense? So we're not diminishing the importance of the body, but we're saying that's not who you are. So I want to start by saying that don't focus too much on physical things because that's not who you really are. Don't get too caught up with your looks. That will fade the more you grow. And I'm sure most of us are starting to realize, you know, depending on what age you are, you're starting to realize that, you know, looks are, they're not. So the Bible says, take heed to your spirit. Amen. Now, we've talked about the body. So the body is the container. Now, your soul is what I call an equipment. Stay with me. Now, the function of that equipment is a medium. In other words, the soul, the reason why you have a soul is so that you can exist between what I call the spirit realm and the physical realm. Does that make sense? Now, how many of us know there's a spiritual realm? Yeah? So we don't need to explain that. Now, there's a spirit realm. And there's things that happen in the spirit realm and there's things that happen in the natural realm. But how many of us know that there's things that move from the spirit realm into the natural, and there's things that move from the natural into the spirit realm? The reason why you have a soul is so that you can do business with both the spirit and the physical realm. And that's why your soul, if you think about it, your soul actually exists as a medium between both. So it's so important for you to take care of your soul. And there's a message that P.O. preached, which is a very powerful message. I don't know if it's online, but it was a series where he taught on the soul. He restores my soul. How many of us were there when P.O. taught that message? If we can find it, go and listen to it. It's really, really good. It just explains the soul in so much in depth. I don't even have time to go into that today. But quickly, the soul is made up of three elements. I'm sure some of us know this already. Your mind, your emotions, and your will. And then some people also add the intellect, which I think is really part of the mind. But so you have the mind, your will, and your emotions. Now, those things still don't define you. Does that make sense? That's not who you are. So, a lot of us, we get caught up in our emotions with things, and we think that because you're feeling down, you're down. That's not really true. Feeling down is an emotion, but that's not what defines you. And so, one of the things that God wants us to do, remember, this whole thing is about maturing us, is to get us to a place where, even though you're feeling a certain way, it doesn't affect who you really are. Because feelings cannot be trusted. How many of us know feelings cannot be trusted? In fact, certain feelings are just based on chemicals. Does that make sense? So, just because you're feeling down today or you're feeling happy tomorrow doesn't mean that you're going to feel the same way the next day. So you can't base your sense of identity on your feelings. You can't base your sense of identity on how your mind or how you think. That's not who you really are. Because those things can change. Does that make sense? So who are you really? Who are you? You are a spirit. And that's why the Bible says, take heed to your spirit. Now, when God made man, we're going to go into scriptures, by the way. I'm just kind of laying a foundation because I want to give us a few reasons why we need to pay attention to our spirit. And we're going to go through scriptures, but I want to kind of lay a foundation. When God made man, the Bible says that God made man in his image, after his likeness. Now, when you read John chapter 4, the Bible says God is a spirit. And actually, it says God is spirit. Amen. If you read Hebrews chapter 12, I think it's verse 9, the Bible says God is the Father of all spirits. Okay? And so what you realize is that when the Bible says God is spirit, and then the Bible says we were made in his image, in other words, you are first a spirit. Does that make sense? That's who you are. So that image that the Bible is talking about is not a physical thing. Now, remember when God said that was in Genesis chapter 1, it was Genesis chapter 2 that man was formed. But God was speaking to man when he blessed him. He says, be fruitful and multiply. But who he was speaking to was not yet physically manifest. Why? Because when God created man, he created the spirit and he blessed that man. Does that make sense? And the Bible says male and female, he created them. So a lot of times when you read in scripture and the Bible is talking about man as a spirit, don't just think, oh, he's talking about a physical man. He's referring to the spirit man. And so when the Bible says we're made in God's image, Remember, the first image of God that we see is a God that creates. And so your spirit is made in his image. That means your spirit has the same capacity to create the way God creates. That's who you are. Are we getting this? Now, remember I said this is all foundational for everything that we've been learning. When God is talking about you maturing, he's referring to your spirit. Because what happens to us is the fact that when we become born again, your spirit man is recreated. So when the Bible says you are born again, in other words, your spirit man is a baby, a new man. That's not physical. That's your spirit man. It's literally born afresh. That's who you are. Now, remember when we talked about the maturing series, we said it's possible for you to be a Christian for how long? 30 years. And that spirit man to stay a baby if you don't mature. And maturity doesn't automatically come by time. It comes by how you apply yourself to the things of God. Does that make sense? But that is what God is primarily interested in, because that's who you are. And so what does the Bible say? Take heed to your spirit. Tell someone, take heed to your spirit. Pay attention to who you really are. You are not your emotions. You are not your body. You are not your feelings. In fact, you are not your thoughts. And let me go there actually. Not every thought that you have is from yourself. Remember I talked about how the soul is made up of your mind, your emotions, and your will. Your mind is essentially where you have all your thoughts. But not every thought in your mind is from yourself. Because guess what? Remember I said that the soul is a medium between the spirit realm and the physical realm. In that space between where you interact with the spirit realm and the physical realm, there are so many voices. Some of them are not voices from God. Some of them are demonic voices. And so a lot of the times, the things that you hear is not just from yourself. It's because your spirit man is interacting with the spirit realm. There are things that you're hearing and your soul is interpreting them. You hear voices, but it's not always from yourself. And so don't define everything that you think as that's me. No. And that's why the Bible talks about bringing every thought to subjection. Does that make sense? So in other words, when you have a thought, what you need to do is, okay, if I'm thinking like this, does this line of thinking line up with God's word? No, it doesn't. Then you bring it under subjection, because you are not your thoughts. All right, so this is very good stuff, because I want us to really get this. Most of us, the things that you're struggling with is because your spirit man hasn't risen up to the point where you have dominion over your soul and your body. When God made man, God's original idea was for your spirit man to be in dominion. In other words, you're not meant to be ruled by your emotions. You're not meant to be ruled by your body. You see, one of the reasons why we fast is God wants to bring you to a place where your spirit man is able to resist food. Because what happens is, if you are someone who's ruled by your body, then what that means is every time you want to eat, you just go and eat. Is food is what drives you. Does that make sense? But when you fast, what happens is you bring your body under subjection, because your spirit is able to tell yourself, I don't want to eat today because I need to bring my body under subjection. Does that make sense? So fasting is one of the processes by which we actually mature your spirit, because what it does is it puts your spirit in correct alignment where your spirit is over your soul and your flesh, your body. Amen? Some of us are like, we haven't read scripture yet. Don't worry, we're getting there. Yeah, we're getting there. All right, so we're talking about your spirit being, having dominion over your soul and your body. That's God's original idea. And that's why he says, take heed to your spirit. Pay attention to what really matters. Pay attention to who you really are. Your spirit is, like I said, when you come into Christ, your spirit is literally a baby. But you have to feed that baby. You have to nurture that spirit. You have to mature that spirit. And we'll talk about different things that mature you. We already talked about one, prayer and fasting. But I want us to really get this principle of dominion. You know, one of the things God said to man was, be fruitful and multiply. And what did he say? He said, have dominion. Remember, when God was speaking to man, there wasn't a formed man at the time. But God created man in his image. So what did he create? He created a spirit. And that spirit was able to hear what God was saying. And so your spirit is essentially what responds to the spirit of God. And that's why you need to mature that spirit. You need to mature your spirit within you. All right, so let's now that we've laid the foundation, I told you today we're gonna finish on time, amen. I want us to read a few scriptures. I want to give us a few scriptures that talk about how God engages with our spirit and how he intended for us to live our lives. And I'm hoping that as we take these principles and apply them, we become more mature. And let me tell you something. The more your spirit matures, the more you're able to engage correctly in the walk of the kingdom, kingdom life. Because kingdom life is meant to be done in first and foremost in the spirit. Does that make sense? But most of us, we are still caught up by the things around us. We still allow the things that we see to dictate how we live our lives. But God is calling us to live our lives as an overflow of what he's doing on the inside of you. So in other words, our Christian life should be an overflow of the abundance of your spirit. So the more you mature in your spirit, the more that affects everything else around you. Does that make sense? So it's an inside thing first. It starts on the inside and then we see an expression of it on the outside. You know, one of the mistakes we made with Christianity is we forced people to live from the out into the in. So we told them what to do. We told them that you should live holy. We told them that you need to do this. We gave them rules. We gave them do's and don'ts. But we didn't make them realize what they've got on the inside first. Because when you realize what you have on the inside first, then the do's and don'ts become an overflow of what God is doing on the inside of you. Does that make sense? In other words, God is not just interested in you living a life based on do's and don'ts. God is interested in putting something on the inside of you that will become an overflow of your life. In fact, the New Testament, the New Covenant, is based on the fact that God said, I will give them a new spirit. I will give them a new heart. Then he said, I will write my laws in their hearts. And so God is not expecting you to live Christianity based on a set of rules. That's not how God designed it. Does that make sense? In fact, when you read Philippians 2, I think it's 13, the Bible says God is at work in you, both to will and to do. In other words, you have to first will, and then you have to then do. Then the Bible says we should work out our salvation in the next verse with fear and trembling. In other words, what you're working out should be a reality of what God is working in on the inside of you. So it's what God is doing inside of you that starts first. And then you living out the reality of what God is doing in you. So if God is working in you both to will and to do, then your responsibility is to work out what God is doing on the inside of you. And that's why this reality of your spirit man is so important. Because everything starts from the inside. Does that make sense? Are we getting this? Is this blessing someone? God doesn't want you to... Some of us, the problem with some of us is we struggle because we're trying to do things by ourselves. And that's self-righteousness. And it does not work. In fact, the whole of the Old Testament is to prove that self-righteousness does not work. God gave man laws to show us that of our own selves we're not able to do God. In other words, in order to do God, we need God. And that was why in the New Testament, God gives us a new spirit, and then he gives us his Holy Spirit. And as our spirit engages with his Holy Spirit, we're able to will and then do according to his good pleasure. That's how Christianity works. And so it starts from you understanding what God has put on the inside of you. It starts from you knowing the fact that you have the Holy Spirit on the inside of you, but your spirit is able to respond to that Holy Spirit. And so it's about surrendering to him. It goes back to what I was saying earlier on, that you can't give what you don't have. You have to first receive what God has given you, which is first his love, and you respond to him. And then everything else we do is an overflow of that, in obedience to what he tells us to do. Is this blessing someone? All right, so we're talking about take heed to your spirit. The first scripture I want to read to us is Proverbs 18:14. Proverbs 18:14. I'm sure some of us are familiar with the scripture. 14:14. So we'll read a couple of scriptures and then we're going to pray. And then we can fellowship after. Amen. I told you it wasn't going to be long. So this one, I'm definitely keeping my promise. All right. The Bible says, the spirit of a man will sustain him in sickness. But who can bear a broken spirit? The spirit of a man will sustain him in sickness. The spirit of a man will sustain him in sickness. In other words, I believe that a lot of things that we deal with most of the time, not all the time, but most of the time, it starts because our spirit is weak. Does that make sense? Your spirit is meant to sustain you. You know, one of the strategies of the enemy is to break your spirit. Because once your spirit is broken, it's like have you ever seen someone who you can look at them and you can, it's almost like you can see their spirit broken. It's almost like they can't do anything because their will is completely gone. And that's the strategy of the enemy. The enemy tries to attack your spirit. But the more you pay attention to your spirit, the more you mature your spirit, the more your spirit is actually able to sustain your soul and your body. In fact, some of us, the things that we're dealing with, the things that we're contending with in terms of ailment, illness, is really because we haven't matured our spirit. Because once you mature your spirit is able to dictate to your body and your soul. You know, when there's this mentor of ours, Pastor Bio, some of us have met him. You know, he says that if you're not feeling happy, that you can just stare in the mirror and say to yourself, you know, I'm not feeling happy, but I can tell myself I am happy. And just say that to yourself until you become happy. And I'm always thinking, this passerby, you know, my wife, you know, sometimes she'll say, sometimes he acts like a robot. He doesn't really understand. He doesn't really. But it's not, it's revelation. It's revelation, because the day you're not feeling happy, that's just a feeling. That's not who you are. And so you can speak to yourself. Remember, when God created man, the Bible says God spoke. We've talked about this before, that the things that you say, the Bible says the words that we speak, they are life and death. So in other words, you can create realities by the things you say. Let me tell you something. If you're feeling really sad, let me tell you this. If you're feeling really sad and you stand in front of the mirror for an hour and speak to yourself that you're happy, do you know what will happen? You'll get happy. Many of us haven't tried it long enough. That's why. Because words can create reality. You see, when you're speaking to yourself, that's your spirit man exercising itself in spite of how you feel. The more you speak, the more your spirit man comes alive. So the words that we say, they are able to create realities in the spirit. And as you speak them, guess what? The spirit realm responds to you. And guess what? Your soul and your body start to respond to the things that you say. That's why confession is so important. The Bible says we should not neglect our profession of faith. Confession is such a powerful thing. Meditation and confession, we've talked about this before. The words that you speak over yourself on a daily basis. In fact, many of us don't practice this, but the world system, they understand this. They call it affirmations. How many of us have read about affirmations? Yeah? It's a spiritual principle. All you're simply saying is you're speaking to the spirit realm, and the spirit realm is responding back to you. That's all affirmation is. But if the world understands this and the world is able to create their own reality based on affirmations, what about those of us who are of the kingdom, who have the words of life, the Bible? I was going to raise my phone as the Bible. But we have the words of life. Why can't we speak those words to ourselves with a revelation of what God has already said about you? That's even more powerful than some affirmation someone wrote on the internet. Do we get this? So God is giving us all these tools to mature our spirit. It's time for you to begin to speak to your spirit, to get your spirit man matured. Because guess what? When you start speaking God's word over yourself, when you start to meditate, and interestingly, when you study the word meditate in the Hebrew, if you study the origin, I've forgotten what the Hebrew word is, it literally means to murmur. You know how when you want to murmur about, or when you want to say something, you... That's what the word really means. Because guess what? When you say something, and you're saying it, and you're hearing it back to yourself, the words that you're saying, they're creating realities in your own heart. Does that make sense? The Bible says, forever, O Lord, your word is settled in heaven. You see, God's word is settled in heaven. The problem is, most of the time, it's not settled in our hearts. And so, how does God's word become settled in your heart? When you say it long enough, that as you're saying it, you're hearing it, you're saying it, you're hearing it, you're saying it, you're hearing it. The Bible says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So the more you say it, the more you're hearing it, the more it comes back until it becomes what? Settled. In fact, anything that you believe is because someone said it to you long enough for you to believe it. And that's why you have to speak God's word over your life long enough for you to believe it, for you to become settled in your heart. That's the process of maturing your spirit. Amen? So again, the Bible says the spirit of a man will sustain him in sickness. I put it to you that health, every type of health, whether it's mental health, all starts with a healthy spirit man. So when you're thinking about your health, don't just think about your body. Actually start with your spirit. How healthy is your spirit man? How strong is your spirit man? The Bible says we should edify ourselves praying in the Holy Ghost. That's another way to develop your spirit man. Pray in the spirit. It works, trust me. Start 10 minutes, 15 minutes every day just praying in tongues. Your spirit man will develop. In fact, the acceleration will be so strong. Your spirit man will literally mature. You'll be able to pick things in the realm of the spirit quickly. You'll know what to do. It will also affect your body. Your body will begin to respond to the spirit realm. The spirit of a man will sustain him. Job chapter 32, verse 8. Can we actually have that in King James Version? It says, there's a spirit in man, and the inspiration of the Almighty gives him what? Understanding. The inspiration of the Almighty. God wants to inspire you. But that inspiration starts in your spirit, man. God wants to give us creative ideas. Many of us, what we really lack is inspiration. Everything that you're praying for starts with an idea, it starts with inspiration. But if your spirit man is too weak, or if your spirit man is a baby, you'll not be able to receive it. Does that make sense? And God wants to inspire you. I'm giving us reasons why we need to take heed to our spirit. God wants to inspire you. There are ideas that God wants to plant in you. But it's not just going to come if your spirit man is not able to receive it correctly. Does that make sense? Again, like I said to us, God's original plan for man was to interact with the spirit realm and then bring things out of the spirit into the natural. That's why God's Bible says he made us in his image. What that simply means is we have the same capacity to create just like God. And it starts with inspiration. Inspiration. And I'm sure God wants to give us creative ideas to expand his kingdom on earth. But we all need to grow up. Say grow up. Our spirit man needs to mature to receive those things. That's another reason. Next reason why we need to pay attention to our spirit. Proverbs 20:27. I love this one. 20:27. It says, the spirit of man is the candle of the Lord, searching all the inward parts of the belly. Now, the word belly is not just talking about your stomach. It's literally talking about every part of you. But the Bible says the spirit of a man is the candle of the Lord. In other words, your spirit is what gives light to every part of you. Does that make sense? Now, the Bible says the entrance of the word produces light. Okay? So, in other words, when God's word comes, what it's supposed to do is to bring light to you. Guess what the candle is? Your spirit. So, when God's word comes, God's word is actually first targeting your spirit man. Many of us, the problem why that light is not able to hit your spirit is there's so many things blocking that entrance of the word to get to the spirit man to light the candle. Because there's so many things that distract or stop the word from getting to the point where he hits the candle. Does that make sense? A lot of times when you come into God's house, God is releasing a word, but there's so many things going on. Sometimes it's just tiredness. Sometimes it's just you're distracted. The strategy of the enemy is to make sure the light doesn't hit the candle. Because the candle is your spirit man. And that candle is meant to bring light to every part of you. But most of us are not able to receive that light because that word didn't even get there. And so take heed to your spirit. Because when God is trying to tell you something, he really wants to get to your spirit man. But if there's so much going, you know, sometimes there's so much going on in your mind that that word is not able to get in there. Because you can be distracted to the point where when the word is coming and the pastor is saying something, the distraction is stopping the word. Do you remember the story of the parable of the sower? The Bible talks about all the various stages before the word is able to actually get into the soil. Because the enemy is trying to steal the word, making sure that the word doesn't hit the candle. That's the strategy of the enemy. But if that word is able to enter and hit the candle, it will produce light to every part of you. You see, for some of us, there are dark places in our lives where God wants to release his light. But your spirit man needs to wake up to the point where it's able to light the whole part of you. And so it's because your spirit man is not mature enough. You know how, I mean, if it's, you know, for those of us who grew up in Nigeria, you probably have more experience with candles. You know, if you soak a candle in water, sometimes when you try and light it, it's just not going to light. Because that candle has been messed up in things. That's the state of some of us. It's the fact that God is trying to light your candle, but your candle has just been in too many things. And so God wants you to refine your candle so he can light your life up. Amen? The spirit of a man is the candle of the Lord. Take heed to your spirit. Don't get too caught up in the things going on. Don't get too caught up in the things that don't really matter. Because what really matters is your spirit, man. So begin to think about this. And like I said to you, the spirit man is not gender. It's not male, female. It is literally the spirit man. Everyone has it, whether you're male or female, or you choose to self-identify. I'm joking. There's no self-identification in this place, amen. For some reason, I've been reading so much about that this last week, and I'm just like, the world is just getting crazy. Like, I don't understand what's going on. It's a madness. But let's not even go there. There is no gender in the spirit. Because you have a spirit man, every single person. Because when the Bible says God made man in his image, he wasn't talking about male, female. He was talking about a spirit man, your spirit, which bears his identity from God. That's who you are. Take heed to that spirit, because that same spirit is the candle of the Lord that is supposed to bring light to every area of your life. Amen. All right, I'm almost done. I think we've got two more. Proverbs 25:28. It says, he that has no rule over his own spirit is like a city that is broken down without walls. Some of us can just identify with this straight away. How many of us have been through situations where you just lashed out? You just lashed out and then you now came back to yourself. Yeah? You've been there. We've all been there, haven't we? Because why? You didn't have a room. Remember what I talked about, dominion? You see, there's a book, Seven Habits of Highly Effective People. How many of us have read that book? How many of us have that book? I tell my wife that every single human being on earth should have that book. I feel like that book is the second Bible. After you have a Bible, go and trust me, go and get that book. It's 7 Habits of Highly Effective People. So 7 habits. One of the first habit is what the author calls it, to be proactive, to not be reactive, which means that what that means is that you have the capacity not to react, not to respond to what someone else says. Basically, what that means is that just because someone says something doesn't mean that they have control over how I respond. How I respond is completely down to me. Does that make sense? And so, everything that people tell you, you always have to measure your response. Does that make sense? You can't afford to be reactive in life. You have to be proactive. In other words, your response to daily things has to be based on principles within yourself, not just based on what someone says. If you're the kind of person that gets triggered all the time, you don't have rule over your spirit. You get triggered, you know, someone says something, it just gets you, you know, just like, it's like they have your buttons, they know how to press it. And if you know someone like me, I'm a bit cheeky, I know how to, you know, press buttons. Don't say yes like that. I like poking buttons. That's what I like doing, just for fun. I should probably stop that. But God designed man to have rule over his spirit. You're not meant to be reactive. You have to be proactive if you're going to be effective in life. Because guess what? If you're not, your life is going to be ruled by what people say and what people do. And you don't have control over that. It's one of the things that the author teaches, that you don't have control over what people say and what people do, but you have control over how you choose to respond. Does that make sense? You have control over how you choose to respond. How you choose to respond should be based on principles from God's word. That's how God intended for us to live life. So, he says he does not have rule over his own spirit. It's like a city that is broken down without walls. The enemy is just able to do anything, you slap you, just play with you anyhow. And that's what the enemy does to some of us. Because what happens is you realize that you're always in one mood swing or the other. Because so your life is always like this. And most of the time it's triggered by something that someone said or something that someone did. Or sometimes it's a memory, it just triggers you. But if you mature your spirit, you can tell yourself, no. No. That's how God designed you to be. So that you have rule. Somebody say dominion. Leadership starts from this principle, having rule over your spirit. If you don't have rule over your spirit, you will not be an effective leader. And you see, when we talk about leadership, I hope we all realize that it's not just so much about titles and positions. It's about influence. Every single person is a leader because God has given you influence and God has given you a sphere of influence. Does that make sense? But in order for you to be effective as a leader, you have to have rule over your spirit. Every single person is a leader. But you have to develop this habit of being proactive and not being reactive. Amen? All right, final scripture before we pray. Is this blessing someone? 1 Corinthians 2:14. It says, the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them, because they are what? Spiritually discerned. Your spirit man is what picks up the things of God. 1 Corinthians 2:14. Spiritual discernment is so key in life. And spiritual discernment is not, oh, you're always smelling what everyone says. You know, some people, they're just always so, that's not spiritual discernment, where you always suspect. You know, I'm suspect. You're always suspecting everybody. That's not spiritual discernment. Spiritual discernment is maturity of your spirit to pick things from the spirit realm. When God is saying stuff to you, you're able to hear it. You're able to recognize when the thoughts you hear, they're not thoughts of the enemy, of yourself, but thoughts of the enemy, that the enemy is trying to sow in you. Spiritual discernment is able to recognize accuracy in the realm of the spirit, to pick up what God is saying, to understand what the enemy is trying to do, and to be able to respond appropriately. That's spiritual discernment. It's not being suspicious of everybody. The Bible says the natural man, the man who just likes to engage with natural stuff, just do stuff regularly, cannot receive the things of the Spirit of God. If you focus too much on the natural, you will not be able to receive the things of the Spirit, because they are foolishness to him. But the things of God are what? Spiritually discerned. So if your spirit man is not mature, you cannot pick up the things that God has for you. And trust me, there's a lot of good stuff that God has for us. Good stuff. Jeremiah 29:11, the Bible says, the thoughts that I have towards you, they are good. And to give you an expecting end. Bible, you know, God wants to give us gifts, good things. But most of us, we are not able to receive them because of this thing about your spirit man not being mature. You're not able to receive everything God has for you. So we talked about various things that can mature your spirit. We talked about praying in the spirit, studying God's word, applying God's word to yourself, applying truth to your life. These are the things that mature you. Telling yourself what God says about you. Meditating and confessing God's word. Speaking that word over yourself. All these things, they may seem foundational, but these are the keys to your maturity. And you see, this is the reason why, you know, sometimes I ask myself, why is it that, you know, sometimes our churches, they're not very packed, they're not too many people. It's because oftentimes when God is trying to do these things, he does it with small people. You know, the Bible says that narrow is the way of life that leads to life, and very few people find it. You know, I used to minister with a man of God that used to say something that if you see a particular place where a lot of people are flooding that place, you have to be careful, because most of the time it does not lead to life. Because if narrow is the way that leads to life and few people find it, it's not always where the crowd is. And so when we're in this type of place where God is teaching these things, this is the path that leads to life in him. Very few people find it. And so when God is dealing with us with these kind of things, there's a reason why he's taking us somewhere. There's things that God has for us as a house. But a lot of us, our spirit man is not able to receive it. And so God is saying it's time for us again to mature, to receive the things he has for us. These things cannot be received by them in the natural. It takes a spirit man that is strong, a spirit man that has rule, a spirit man that is in dominion, a spirit man that is able to rule over its body and your soul, a spirit man that is not dictated to by how you feel, but responds based on the truth of God's word. That's what it's really about. When your response in life, every single day you engage with life, when you respond according to truth, that's how you know you're mature. That's the proof of spiritual maturity, where your response to daily issues in life is based on the truth of God's word. That's where God is trying to get us to. When we get to that point as a house, we will begin to receive things, ideas, inspirations, God, things that God has prepared for all of us. We will begin to walk in them. Amen. All right, let's stand up and pray. How many of us were blessed by the word? How many of us are going to make a commitment to mature our spirit? You see, when you hear this type of when this type of words come, is you don't just jump quick into prayer. You make a commitment to yourself and to God that you're going to do something with this. And trust me, this stuff we're talking about, this is foundational. This is foundational. Because like I said, God is about to take us to places. But the Bible says, if the foundation be destroyed, what can the righteous do? In other words, everything that we do in the kingdom is laid on right foundations. And that's why God wants to mature our spirits. God wants us to grow up in Him, to be spiritually mature in Him. And it starts from a place of surrender. It starts from a place where we surrender to His Spirit. And so we laid the foundation that it's not in our works. It's not about what we do. It's about what He has done and us surrendering to what He has done. And some of us, we have not fully surrendered to that. And so God is saying, I want you to give up everything else and just surrender to My work on the inside of you. For some of us, you've literally let your emotions drive your life. And God is saying, it's time for you to allow your spirit man, through His Spirit, to drive your life. Thank you, Father, for what you're doing in this house. Thank you because you're raising a mature people in this place, God. That this will be a house of teachers, a house of prophetic, apostolic, mature people who are able to walk in the fullness of everything God has for us. This is the pathway for sonship. This is the pathway for sons who will represent God's kingdom in the world that we live in. And so, Father, we say we surrender, God. We surrender to your process. We surrender to what you're doing on the inside of us. Let our lives be an overflow of your kingdom at work in us. Let our lives be an overflow of your spirit at work in us. Thank you, Father God. on, receive. Just receive what God is doing in this place. As God is doing a work in this place right now. Just for a few moments, just receive. Just inhale. Inhale Him and exhale. Thank you, Father Lord. The change we want to see in the world starts with a change on the inside of us. Starts with an outworking of the Holy Spirit on the inside of us. God is at work in us, both to will and to do. And we will walk out His salvation in us with fear and trembling. Come on, for a few more minutes, receive inspiration from on high. Receive strength from the Holy Spirit. Receive an outpouring within your spirit. Those of us who can pray in the language of the Spirit, I want you to pray for a few minutes. The Bible says, build up your most holy faith. Praying in the Spirit. We speak the strength of the Lord. Every broken spirit in this house, receive strength right now. Receive an infuse of God's strength in the name of Jesus. My leg is bending. Ready and deliverables. My king delivers. Thank you, Father.
Come on, for a few more moments. Just press in. Press in. Press in. Press in and break every barrier. And step into your new level in God.